شكرا هديت قلبي شكرا نورت دربي شكرا شكرا يا رب يا منزل القرآن يا خالق الإنسان يا رب يا رحمن شكرا يا رب
شكرا يا رب
يا منزل القرآن يا خالق الإنسان يا رب يا رحمن شكرا يا
Now we'll listen to the continuation of this program, Lantern, and the important points of this nice story.
We seek refuge from Satan the cursed in the name of Allah, the most compassionate, the most merciful. Assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullah, dear audience. Welcome to a new episode of Lantern from IRIB English Radio. This is Zainab Musavi, and in this program, what we do is to listen to certain religious stories and then try to shed light on some points that can be useful for us in our daily lives as Muslims. Well, our episode for today is about venom that corrupts the soul. There's a danger that hides in the most unexpected places. Not in sin, not in rebellion, but sometimes within piety itself. It is called vanity. The feeling of self-admiration, of seeing one's own good deeds as a reason for pride. It's a subtle disease of the soul. One that quietly eats away sincerity until the person once beloved by Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala begins to seek admiration from others instead. Yes, our episode for today revolves around this malicious behavior. The Holy Book of Quran warns us that أعوذ بالله من الشيطان الرجيم فلا تزكوا أنفسكم هو أعلم بمن اتقى. So do not claim purity for yourselves. He knows best who is truly righteous. Surah An-Najm, verse number 32. This verse strikes directly at the heart of vanity. No matter how pure or pious we think we are, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala alone knows the reality within our souls. Vanity is different from gratitude. Gratitude sees good deeds as a gift from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, while vanity sees them as a personal achievement. Gratitude says, Alhamdulillah that He allowed me to do good. While vanity says, look at me, I did good. And in that tiny shift of the heart, light begins to fade. The Prophet ﷺ said, three things destroy, greed that is a bid, desires that are followed, and vanity that amazes a person about himself. This last one, vanity, is especially dangerous for those striving to be righteous because it disguises itself as piety. Okay, well, let's have a short break and we will be back very soon.
The Lantern.
Under the light of lantern, we'll look at the story which indicates a moral aspects of our life.
Welcome back to your audience. You are listening to Lantern and we are talking about vanity. Well, throughout history, the true scholars, the ulama, were actually aware of this danger. Their greatness lays not only in their knowledge but in their humility. They understood that vanity is like poison mixed with honey. It tastes sweet, but it kills the soul. There's a story of one of the great jurists who, after finishing his night prayers, would sit quietly and say to himself, "Oh my soul, do not be deceived. If all people said you were good, what would matter if Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala sees arrogance inside you? he feared not the loss of reputation, but the loss of sincerity. Another famous scholar was once seen wearing an old patched garment. When asked why he did so, he said, "If I wear fine clothes, my soul becomes proud. If I wear these, it remembers its place." This was not self-neglect, it was self-awareness. He knew that vanity would creep into the heart through the smallest door. Imam Ali alayhi salam once said, "The most destructive of enemies is the one that lies within your chest, your own ego." He also warned how ugly it is that a man is proud of something which was not created by himself. His appearance, his wealth, his lineage, and forgets what is truly his deeds. Let's remember that every good deed, every prayer, every drop of knowledge, all are blessings on loan. We own nothing. We are guests in this world of trials. The truly pious person thanks Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala for guidance, not himself for success. And in the end, the most beautiful hearts are those that shine quietly, not seeking to be seen, but seeking to see Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. The greatest scholars were those whose humility made them invisible to the world, yet luminous in the heavens. They proved that piety without humility becomes pride, but humility turns piety into light. Okay, well, dear listeners, thank you very much for listening to this episode of Lantern. And until another one, I bid you farewell and may Allah protect you all. Wassalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh.
Dear brother and sister, thank you very much for your company. This is the end of this episode of Lantern. Until a new story, fi aman Allah.
Possess, I offer you. I wanna be someone whom you can trust. Come save us from a world that's so unjust. Where is the rising sun? Where is the spring of hope? Where is the shining? Please, where is the sun?
This is A to Z. An introduction into an Islamic lifestyle. Today's lesson, it's not a big deal. Bismillah ar-Rahman ar-Rahim, welcome to A to Z here on Iron Bridge Radio with me, Sister Zainab. And, you know, the idea of something not being a big deal, that's something that I think all of us sort of use at to some extent. You know, whether it's whether there's something going on in our lives that maybe we don't tell other people, or sometimes even if it's something big going on in our lives and we don't tell people what's going on, or maybe we've told people but we sort of shrug it off and laugh it off and we say, it's fine, it's not a big deal, it'll be okay. And, you know, why do we do that? Well, there might be several aspects. I'll start with one. One is, you know, in a sense, a very positive one. That is, we don't want to cause undue worry. And we also want to sort of give, sort of just nurture this idea that, yeah, you know, we're Muslim and, you know, we can cope with it. We can handle it. There might, so that's good. And maybe it's also a little bit of encouragement to other people to sort of understand, yeah, you know, it doesn't matter what's happening. We can, you know, we can just get on. It's even big things we can deal with. We'll get through them. You know, there'll be another day that maybe today is, you know, as our imams tell us, I think it was Imam Ali, that, you know, there'll be a day for us and there's a day against us, and we just deal with it. We just get on. The next day, the better day will come. So that's good, alhamdulillah. There might be another aspect, and that's something we need to be maybe a bit more aware of, and I think that's something I've read about recently too. Sometimes when we say something that, oh, it's not a big deal, it's not a problem, maybe. And this is really going into the inner work where we need to be careful. Maybe we're also trying to sort of prove to other people that, oh, we're really strong and we can cope with anything. And that maybe is a bit of a problem. So we need to be careful and maybe just sort of, let's say, take stock ourselves. Do we fall into that habit where we're almost trying to show off to others with how strong we are? So that's just something to be aware of. Welcome back to A to Z here on Iron Bridge Radio with me, Sister Zainab. I'm talking about the different ways in which we sort of show that, you know, something's not a big deal, and different rationales or reasons we might have. And I've just pointed out one that we maybe need to be aware of. And I suspect that to some extent many of us fall into this one where we say, oh, it's not a big deal. And because maybe we want to sort of also say that, you know, I'm really strong. I can handle this. It's fine. I'll just brush it off. And, you know, there's another aspect to this. If something is really difficult and we're sort of suppressing, whether it's something physical pain or emotional pain, if we're suppressing something that we need to just be a bit more open about and just sort of say, yeah, look, this is tough. Can I just talk about this? That might actually be better in the long run, because I think psychology tells us, you know, it's just the way we are as human beings. If we suppress something, it can actually have bad consequences for our emotional state of being, and also physically. We can actually then develop physical issues. So just be aware of that too. Okay, but I also wanted to talk about just an anecdote from life of one of the martyrs from our defense, Sayyid Jan Bozorgi. So he did have this tendency to really not fuss over small things, and to basically always have this attitude of, you know, that nothing was a big deal, more or less. But, you know, with our martyrs, this really is this is definitely not this idea that, oh, I'm sort of, it's not a big deal, I'm trying to sort of show how strong I am. No, this really is, because they actually had reached that level of strength. There was nothing fake about it. So he was, even when he had been injured and was in hospital, he would basically try to get out of hospital as soon as possible. And we see this not just in his life, we see this in the lives of all the martyrs from the defense, basically. You know, there was basically nothing would keep them in hospital. So his hearing had even been impaired. But basically, as soon as he regained consciousness, he was out. And, you know, so this is a particular level. Inshallah, we can all, if we can reach that sort of level of strength and resilience, wonderful. But, you know, in the meantime, we need to be a bit careful when we're sort of dealing with this attitude of, oh, it's not a big deal. So just be aware of these little lessons I've just sort of re-emphasized in what I've said today. So we don't fall into this thing of, you know, putting on a fake front. We don't want that either. So I pray you've gained some insights from today, and I look forward to welcoming you to another episode of 8Z here on I'm Radio with me, Sister Zainab, and farewell for now. Thank you very much for listening to this episode of A to Z. And for more information, please also visit our website at www.iranradio.ir.
Life is full of choices. Choose the best option. Visit us at parstoday.ir/en. IRIB English Radio.
Thank you for joining us. You are listening to Iran Radio, and here are some interesting facts about the Holy Quran I invite you to listen to. Surah Yasin is considered the heart of the Quran for its tremendous benefits for the believer. The best drink according to Quran is milk. In the Quran, Allah also describes the rivers of milk in the heaven. The best food according to Quran is honey, which cures several problems and is the sweetest gift to humans from Allah. Normally, the Quran declares Friday as the most blessed day of the week. The month of Ramadan is the best month of the year, and the night of Qadr has been described as a night better than 1,000 months. Its significance is described in Surah Al-Qadr. We are in the studio of Iran Radio with a full slate of engaging content, meaningful dialogue, and stories that stay with you long after the broadcast ends. So wherever you are, make yourself at home. You're just getting started. First, you'll hear more of our expertly crafted radio productions. Next is Youth Station. Following that, we bring you powerful insights from leaders' speech. Listen to English translations of selected statements and speeches by Ayatollah Khamenei, the leader of the Islamic Revolution on various occasions, a source of profound wisdom. Then join us as we go round the world with reporters. Our correspondents from across the globe will bring you fascinating reports on a variety of subjects from their regions, offering a unique global perspective. So don't go anywhere. Up next is another segment of our radio productions.
Start. Movement.
Speed.
Live in hope.
Toward the peak.
On Youth Station.
Youth Station.
I am a Muslim.
Islam my deen.
Allah my Lord.
His word Quran.
Muhammad prophet.
Praise be upon.
I am Muslim for.
الرحمن الرحیم. السلام علیکم to all of you dear listeners of IRIB English Radio. Welcome to another episode of Youth Station. This is Nahid having the honor of being with you, and here with me I have the pleasure of being with my very dear sister
Masuma. How are you?
Great. How about you?
Everything is nice. Let us say I have talked bad about you behind you to one of our common friends, and then you realize about it. What would be your reaction when you see me?
Well, if it was a few years ago, I would have reacted harshly. Like, mm-hmm. I would have, forgot you. I would have tried to run away from the places that I would meet you even.
Oh.
I mean, remove that person, not you.
Ghost me?
Yeah, not you. God forbidden. That person. I would have deleted her from my social contacts from everywhere. Like, as if I even don't know them. Right now, I remember some friends that they had. Even I don't have their number. Like, once we had a kind of a problem at work, and then that person was kind of backbiting and was sad at us and all these stuff. A few months after that, one of my friends said, have you seen those kinds of words that she is just posting on social media? And on the accounts that she knew that we were supposedly going to be there to watch. And I said, no. She said, how not? Why haven't you seen them? I was like, oh, I removed her number. So I don't have her number. So I didn't have access to her social media on WhatsApp or whatever application. So I haven't seen.
So you removed
this
her.
Much that I even didn't have the number. So I couldn't see what she's saying.
So you totally removed her,
yeah.
Blocked her,
yeah.
Physically, emotionally, mentally, yeah. And socially.
But now I'm more mature. I mean, mm-hmm. I've learned more lessons, and I know how to react a bit in a more political, strategic way. But what about you? What if the same thing would happen to you? How would you react?
Of course, it depends on so many things. What has been said, to whom it has been said, and how close that friend was. So let's imagine the worst. Let's imagine that loveliest friend of mine that I really love, and she understands me, I understand her, we've been girlies and amazing.
Yeah.
If she says something bad, since I know her, and I know her lovely soul, I will not get angry at that moment. I will, but I will try to control it because
good.
Because first of all, I respect the years and the time we have been together. Secondly, I don't know the whole story yet. And I have learned this lesson that for me, at least, it works better to speak.
So you're patient.
I am not. I'm working on it.
Oh, very good.
I thought I was patient until I realized I'm not. So now I'm working on it. I'm going to talk to her. For me, that would work better because she's a close friend, and it's not just removable friend.
So as for your response, you would have gone and talked to her?
Yes. For this specific important friend.
Would you tell her the exact thing that you heard?
I would be honest.
I heard this, so is it true or not?
I will be honest with her. I will be like, I heard this, that you said this. What's the story? And I'm sure if we would talk, she would have a good explanation. And since we both are honest, as far as I know now, we're going to be able to solve the problem. But if it's not a very important friend, maybe it's just a colleague that we counted each other as friend. You know, like the very beginning level of friendship. When then I would, keep my distance.
So that is
to protect myself.
Nice strategy.
Yes, it highly depends on the person. Because you cannot have one size doesn't fit all. Come on. I cannot have one rule for everything.
It's also
yes.
The improvement. I mean, yes. This world has taught us different ways. Maybe in the past, everyone would have gone for a kind of fight or a struggle.
Yes, yes.
But these days, people are changing. They are learning the calm ways of confrontation.
Yes.
They talk to each other, which is very nice. Mm-hmm. But I'm sure that there are many difficulties rooted in this calm confrontation. I mean, as for me, I said I'm changing my strategies, but it is hard for me. It's hard to see that same person again and again. It's hard for me to be the same.
It is.
And this makes it difficult, makes it challenging. So let's devote today's episode on talking about the different ways to respond on these situations. On the occasion that you know that your close friend, I don't know, a relative, a family member, has said something that would make you sad.
This is IRIB English Radio. You're listening to Youth Station.
to Youth Station, we're talking about how we would respond if someone has talked bad about us. Yeah. Behind us, very importantly.
Well, the first strategy for many people is deleting that person.
Mm-hmm.
But it depends. I mean, it has different layers as for
yes.
me. As I said, I have changed these days. And what I meant is this, that up today, if the same thing happens to me, first, I would not think about it. I mean, as a supervisor, sometimes I get harsh criticism, mm-hmm. harsh messages or comments from the teachers that are complaining. Even some of them are so young. And I know that she or he doesn't mean the thing that they're saying. So I get some messages, but the first thing that these days I do, in the past I used to just read them and then, okay, you were rude. Rude people are not in my circle, fired. I used to be like this. But these days I changed in this way that I don't check my messages. I don't see them. I don't try to think about them. If I heard something, I will not think about it for a while. Like maybe 2 or 3 days, I will not check the message. I will not answer. I will not talk to that person. So that my mind is in a more comfortable mood,
mm-hmm.
then I go for a decision.
Oh, so you're managing your emotions.
Yeah, in this way, that I postpone. I delay my answer to some time so I can just focus better.
That's very interesting, actually. I think that would work very good in work life because, well, deleting people, removing people from our life, blocking them was an easy option when we were high school students.
Yeah.
But now, well, we are in a bigger world, we're in a bigger society, and just ditching people is not an option for everyone. As you mentioned, they're your colleagues. They can be, and the worst situation can be their family.
Yeah.
Imagine one of your close family member, maybe
yeah.
your sister. Oh my God, like this is possible. Now that I'm saying it, I cannot imagine it because my sister is such a sweet little girl. She's younger than me, so I will always see her like this little
baby. You're
a
supportive person.
Yes, this is little baby of mine. So if she ever talks bad about me and then I realize, of course it's going to break me. It's going to hurt me. But I cannot remove her. We are together. Even if we're living in separate houses, we are still connected. So it can be really hard.
Yeah.
And I'll stick to my still same strategy of communication. Communication is the key for me. I would talk to them because these kind of relationships are important. Close friends, families. We have invested so much time,
yeah,
bond,
right.
and you know, emotions in it that it needs a good communication. But for example, if such thing would happen for me in work, then yes, I would use your method. That's nice.
Yeah.
I would wait for a bit better, you know, cold mind, not hot, angry mind. And then I would try
yeah,
to
and
solve the problem.
Yeah, it's so important that we know that it's in our nature that
mm-hmm.
we would like to react harshly.
Yes.
I mean, it's part of my nature as a human being that the moment that I see some negative ideas, I would like to attack. I would like to, I don't know, react in
yeah.
a harsh way. So once I realize that, okay, it's normal, but let's control it.
Yes.
Maybe during the day you see lots of people, you would like to punch them in the face, but
oh,
then
yes.
you control yourself.
Yes, we do. And you also mentioned a part just a few sentences ago that you'd understand them when
yeah.
you mention that they're young and you understand them. That is also very nice that we need to understand them. What made him or her say that? Are they mature even yet or not? What did they mean? Maybe they meant something else. And this person who's coming and telling me that person A has talked,
yeah.
is even this person trustable or not? What is this person looking after? Is this person, you know, trying to make our relationship get screwed or what?
Yeah, even is my close friend at that moment, okay, maybe she was so pressurized. Maybe I did something before that
mm-hmm.
made her this overwhelmed that she
yes.
wanted to react or say these stuff. And the other thing that, you know, Massimo, there's a lesson I learned from one of my colleagues. He's a psychologist.
Yes.
And a few years ago, those first years that I was at work, as I told you, I was so young. So once we had a kind of argument, I wouldn't have just waited for it to be over. And I would fire that person, that teacher, say, from the institute because of the reason that she or he was rude, for example. Then one day he came to me. He's my friend's husband. He's a kind of, say, a friendly person who would like to change everything to a positive way.
Mm-hmm.
And then he told me this, and this really changed my mindset. He said, okay, imagine that you've done this for all people around you, everyone who was rude, everyone who was not following your criteria and your rule. Then are you going to bear everything together all alone?
Mm-hmm.
And are you supporting yourself, your character, as an educated person? Or when you are doing so, you are just taking revenge? You know, sometimes, knowingly or unknowingly, mm-hmm. we are just supporting our ego. We are not going for protecting our soul.
Yes.
This is very important, knowing that the way we react sometimes is rooted in the ego. I want to keep my position. I want to tell everyone that mm-hmm. I have this position and I'm proud of it. So because of this, once a person is standing in front of me, I will remove them.
Oh.
So this makes it even ugly, makes it
ruder
than the thing that that person has done.
Because now you're aware of what's going deep inside you.
Yeah, exactly. So sometimes people, we human beings, we are just protecting our ego. We are highlighting our ego and we forget about our soul. Our soul as a human being should look at each other as sisters, as even regarding the younger people, like our younger siblings. Once we look at them in a motherhood way,
mm-hmm.
in a way that I'm going to be supportive for them, I'm going to help them improve. So in this way, we would not have done those things. We would not have gone for those reactions.
That's really interesting. So you mean that we might also want to change ourselves and see the point that they want. Yeah, not to feel hurt and, you know, pull a guard, but to think outside your body.
And this is more on our side, not the side of that person who has done a mistake, mm-hmm. be it whatever thing they have done. Here we are thinking about ourselves, the way I am behaving and the effect I am having on this problem. Am I worsening it or am I just solving it?
And it's really interesting that whatever strategy that we're using, as your friend mentioned, that we need to think about it, that what will be the outcome in me and around me in long term.
Exactly.
If I keep having this strategy for long term, will I have any people left around me? Will I be able to make a better, you know, communication with my society?
And can I handle my life?
Yes, that's very interesting.
So this is very important, that once we want to think about the ways to react, we have to go inside as well. Think of ourselves after the problem. I mean, okay, now my friend has done a mistake. What if a few days later, after my reaction, I will be the bad person in this story.
Mm-hmm.
The way I acted makes it worse. So this is also important. The other thing is that we can just set boundaries. I mean, we can use our trust, as you said in the story of your friend, we can use our trust, this trust between us, to rebuild our relationship slowly. Maybe we get hurt at the moment, but once we talked, once we go back and we feel like, oh, I trust this person.
Mm-hmm.
So maybe what they have said was not like this. Maybe they didn't mean this way. So this can also help. And regarding our religion, our great prophet sallallahu alayhi wa alayhi wa sallam had said, backbiting is worse than adultery. So backbiting is one of the kinds of sins that is never accepted. But also, in this situation, the person who is telling us this story is the one to be blamed.
Yes, of course, as I already mentioned.
And we are being part of it.
We need to also encounter that. What is this person looking for? What was its aim? Was it really for my sake?
Most of the times, no.
What are they up to? In simple words, what are you up to? Why are you telling me? Okay, someone said something, someone did bad to me, and I have no idea. What are you up to by telling me? Are you really trying to save me? Or did you even, you know, talk back to her? Did you defend me or not? You know, this has this topic. However, it seems very simple, yet it is very complicated. It is very complicated because it has different aspects and layers to it. Was I really wrong? Why was the one who is backbiting really backbiting? Why is this listener coming and telling me? And what should I do? All these layers really make everything complicated. But I'm sure with just, you know, having some healthy boundaries and being nice toward ourselves and others,
true.
We can solve the problems.
Yeah, we are the modern citizens of the world.
Yes.
We say we are equipped with everything and technology
mm-hmm.
and all the lessons and all the books and stuff. So we have to act like one.
Yes.
So next time that you heard something of a friend that you really love or a family member, relative, whoever, and you felt like you have to react harshly, wait for a second, think, and then decide, are you going to go
mm-hmm.
for revenge? Are you going to forgive? And what strategy you, as a Muslim, are going to choose, which is not going to be the place that you regret. With all these great wishes, we end today's episode. Wassalamu alaikum
wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh.
I will tell you, dear youth, that the future belongs to you. By Allah's favor, you dear youth will see that day, and you will hand down your sources of pride to the future generations. Greetings, be upon you and Allah's mercy and blessings.
And inshallah, we will continue talking about
this. We'll discuss that inshallah in the next session. Wassalamu alaikum.
Alhamdulillah, Rabbil Alameen. And don't go away.
We will continue this very essential topic with our great youth.
Wassalamu alaikum. Wassalamu alaikum. Wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh.
We are with you. What about you? Fruitful Moments with IRIB English Radio.
بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم
السلام عليكم ورحمة الله
Selection of Ayatollah Khamenei's viewpoints
The following is part of the speech delivered by Imam Khamenei, the leader of the Islamic Revolution, in a meeting with school and university students. The meeting took place in the Imam Khomeini Rahmatullah Alayhi Husayniyah on November 3, 2025, on the eve of Student Day and the National Day of Fighting Global Arrogance. A young person can stand against the might, power, and menacing threats of the pharaohs of our time when their heart is with God, and they are connected to God. Keep this up. This assembly of young people who are gathered here, several thousand young people, if all of you and the country's youth pay attention to this point, I believe we will achieve greater, better progress in our worldly affairs, in the management of our country, and in confronting our enemies. As for the 13th of Aban, the event that took place on the 13th of Aban and the seizure of the U.S. Embassy by students can be viewed from two perspectives. One, the perspective of history, and two, the perspective of identity. This is an event that happened, and what we want to do is to correctly understand and comprehend this event. From a historical perspective, there is no doubt that in our country's future, this day will be a day of honor and victory for the nation. There is no doubt about that. It's the day our youth dare to confront a power that the politicians of the world feared. Those youth showed courage. They weren't afraid. And they stormed that embassy based on a rationale for a certain reason and for a cause which I will explain. It's a day of honor. History, we have had days of victory and we have also had days of weakness and decline, both of which must be remembered. When I say our history, I don't mean a history of 1,000 or 2,000 years. From the time colonialism was created and colonialism and global arrogance became prevalent in the world, our country wasn't spared from their intrusions and various events unfolded. Some of these events were important. We were victorious. And they demonstrated the strength of the Iranian nation, while others were bitter events that I will now touch upon. We must keep the pleasant events in mind, repeat them, and preserve them in our national memory. And we must do the same with regard to bitter issues and events. When we recall the days of glory and the pleasant days, we gain self-confidence and feel a sense of power and capability. For example, let's consider the story of nullification of the colonial tobacco concession, which was a significant event in the country carried out by Mirza Shirazi. When we remember this event, we feel that we are capable. We realize that our nation has the ability to overcome a great power like the England of that era, which was the greatest and strongest of all the global powers.
Mother, don't cry for me, I'm heading off to war. God Almighty is my armor and sword. Palestine, forever Palestine. Children stones in the sky, they say to their parents, don't worry, God is on our side. Palestine, forever Palestine. Mother, don't worry when they come for us at night. Surely they'll be sorry when God puts them right. Tell me why they do it, what was done to them. Don't they know that God is with the oppressed and needy? He perished while the nations that rule through tyranny. Palestine, forever Palestine. Fighting for our lives, they say to their parents, we know that Palestine is our right. They say to their parents, we'll fight for what is right. They say not to worry, God is on our side. They say we'll die for Palestine,
forever Palestine. Yusuf Jalali, Tehran.
Rubashavit, Gaza.
Jerome Hughes, Brussels.
Said Poreza, London.
Russia, Saglam, Istanbul.
Said Amin Alemi, Kabul.
Shahanabad, Indian administered Kashmir.
Around the world with reporters.
Venezuela has been the subject of intense media attention in recent months as the United States doubles down on its pressure aimed at overthrowing the government in Caracas. In the eastern state of Anzoátegui, an assembly of local leadership meets as part of a process to fortify the United Socialist Party, the PSUV, from the grassroots level.
What the Venezuelans want is peace, prosperity, and we have our own democratic system. We have elections. We are even electing at this moment communities and popular power all over the country.
Venezuela held another election on Sunday to vote on local projects at the communal level, which will be funded by the state. And while the spectacle continues on social media, daily routines seem unaffected.
Things are happening. People are going to the beaches. People are going to party. People are working, are studying. But we are also getting ready for any scenario. If the imperialism of the USA tries to attack Venezuela, we'll know how to answer, and we will prevail. Venezuelans, the only thing we want is to be respected, and for the world and for the great powers to respect our sovereignty, to respect our people and our self-determination.
Throughout the country, daily life continues for Venezuelans against the backdrop of the incessant campaign of aggression leveled by the United States against the country as the massive military buildup escalates in the Caribbean Sea.
Governor of Anzoátegui, Luis José Mercado, says while calm reigns, Venezuelans are prepared to defend their nation.
In our state of Anzoátegui, which is part of the Caribbean coastal region of our country, we have entered a period of permanent mobilization. What we have done for these past 3 months or more is carry out intense activity involving military, police, and popular mobilizations. Each of our 205 community circuits has an organization with militia units that have been mobilizing, holding night marches and meetings, conducting training exercises, and carrying out military-style preparations. In Venezuela, the majority of us, the women and men of this nation, are absolutely determined to preserve our independence and our sovereignty.
Venezuela is a country at peace, advancing in its various transformative projects, strengthening its economy in the face of the economic blockade and guarding its sovereignty. Camila Escalante, Anzoátegui.
The Italian capital, Rome, has hosted an event dubbed A Journey into Persian Cuisine, organized by the Iranian Institute of Culture in collaboration with the Italian National Hoteliers Association Federalberghi and the Betoia Hotel Group. The initiative aimed at presenting Iran's rich gastronomic heritage and diverse regional influences. Italy, like Iran, places utmost importance on culinary traditions.
Iranian food is one of the most important food systems in the world, in diversity and health. And one of the most important our obligation is exchange these food systems and gastronomy between Italy and Iran.
Gastronomy embodies the culture of hospitality and acceptance. Everybody knows how culinary traditions are important for Italy. The same applies to Iran, where I have been kindly welcomed a few years ago.
This journey into Persian cuisine is an initiative aimed at promoting intercultural dialogue through the universal language of food. Participants say it offers them an experience that engages all the senses and opens a window onto an ancient civilization. From savory stews like Rome Sabzi and Reime Bademjoun to aromatic rice dishes such as Chelo Chebab Kubide, participants had the opportunity to discover a wide range of Iranian flavors, textures, and aromas.
The food that I like the most is the biryani labu. I love beetroot and yogurt mixed together. It tasted delicious.
The food we had today was excellent. I felt welcome and as if I was in my own home.
Now I have a crazy urge to visit Iran.
flavors were amazing. The food wasn't even too spicy. What I loved the most was the contrast of flavors in every bite.
It's called gastrodiplomacy, and it is a form of cultural diplomacy that uses food as a tool to stimulate intercultural dialogue and strengthen international relations. During the event, speakers all agreed, through the universal language of food, it is possible to better understand the other. Max Civili, Rome.
The Venezuelan embassy in Tehran marking more than a century of Bolivarian military aviation, a force that Caracas describes as revolutionary, people-centered, and central to defending the nation's independence. This year's celebration also commemorates the 33rd year since the November 1992 civic military uprising, an event that Venezuelans regard as a rebirth of their modern air force and a turning point in their political history.
We mark 105 years of our Bolivarian military aviation, and since President Chavez established our defense doctrine in 1999, we remain fully prepared to protect the country. As you know, since August, the United States has issued threats, and for more than 17 weeks, their warships have stayed deployed. President Maduro has ordered military drills, and at the same time, we face pressure on many fronts.
More than 30 military attachés from foreign embassies in Tehran attended the ceremony, an expression of solidarity amid ongoing external pressures on Venezuela. During the opening remarks, the Venezuelan ambassador addressed what he called continuous threats and coercive measures from the United States and attempts to undermine Venezuelan sovereignty under the pretext of fighting narco-trafficking.
We are fully prepared under the current circumstances. All our armed forces stand ready and follow the commander-in-chief, our president. All military commanders maintain unity and discipline, and the solidarity we see today in Venezuela is exemplary. We are prepared to defend our country and the peace of our republic.
Iranian officials at the event praise Venezuela's resilience and its alignment with Tehran's own stance of strategic independence.
I can say that Iran and Venezuela's relations are strategic. Because of the high-level officials of Iran, I mean the president of the Venezuela and our supreme leader, they have this very high-level will to have strategic relationships. It's because of our, our beliefs about the resistance and resilience of against the imperialist and arrogant people and arrogant governments.
For Caracas, the 105th-year milestone is more than an anniversary. It is a message of continuity, resistance, and commitment to their national identity.
Iran and Venezuela may be oceans apart, but they are close in their shared fight against imperialism. And on this anniversary, Venezuela is also vowing to keep alive Simon Bolivar's legacy. Gisum Shahmadi, Tehran.
Tunisia made the headlines on Wednesday after President Qais Saied summoned the European Union's ambassador to lodge an official protest against what he called the failure to respect diplomatic rules. A statement from the presidency provided no details on the alleged breach in protocol by the European Union envoy, but referred to the use of practices outside diplomatic customs, a reference to his recent meeting with Nordin Tabubi, the leader of the North African country's main trade union. On Monday, Giuseppe Peroni, while meeting with Tabubi, commended the role of the Tunisian General Labor Union, UGTT, whose response called for the country's enhanced cooperation with the European Union. However, the revelation sparked a criticism, with the Tunisian authorities calling it an interference in internal affairs. We believe that the president's invitation to the European Union ambassador and his request to respect diplomatic rules and international agreement reflects a commitment to national sovereignty, a principle that was violated in the past 10 years. These comes as Tunisia faces a long political crisis with the reduced role of parties and organizations. That has also increased the state's sensitivity toward any external actions. Also, the UGTT was part of the 2050 National Dialogue Accord and seen as an influential counterweight to Saeed since he took the helm of power back in 2021, which the opposition described as a coup. The UGTT's ability to take on a larger political and union role depends on its strength and influence. Since 2011, it has been a key player in both politics and labor issues and an active partner in every government. President Saeed has stressed that national sovereignty is a red line. Any political decision is in the hands of the government, and that relation with Europeans must be based on mutual respect without pressure. Many observers say Tunisia is open to cooperation with the European Union, but remains firm in protecting its political independence. However, the latest row amid internal tensions and the challenges, the future of relations between Tunis and Brussels remain uncertain.
The European Union has been Tunisia's largest trading partner and TLA for decades. The two remains at odds over a number of issues, including migration and human rights since Saeed came to power. The summoning of the European Union ambassador over the alleged interference in domestic affairs could sour the relation even further. Iskandar Nawar, Tunisia.
First came the media campaign, then the pressure from conservative politicians, threats against members and damage to their property. Now the Austrian state prepares terror charges against one of the most established anti-racist and anti-colonial organizations in the country, Daral Canup. Among the accused is their current chairperson.
The situation was similar like the house raids against our association Daral Canup in February. The house raids were supported by heavy force through the special unit Vega, and they came into my apartment and they confiscated laptops, telephones, documents from the association, and also private books, for example a book from the 1980s in German language from Rastan Kanafani.
Following the raids, the activist lost his job and is now facing several charges for his political support of Palestine and anti-colonial struggle in the global south.
The state prosecutor accused us of membership of a criminal organization, membership of terrorist organizations, and also the kind of we are people who force others to violent acts and terrorist acts.
The association had to close their premises due to the growing legal expenses. The activists face imprisonment of up to 10 years if charged. The Austrian government launched its crackdown on pro-Palestine protests and activists after October 7 in 2023. It imposed a ban on the first rally that was held after the state, but activists went ahead and held the rally, which resulted in the arrest of hundreds of them. Now, 2 years later, the court has announced its ruling on the legality of the ban.
The Constitutional Court has now ruled after 2 years that the ban on the demonstration was lawful. We will now appeal this decision to the European Court of Justice.
Legal experts say this harsh repression of the Palestine Solidarity Movement in the past 2 years increasingly undermines democratic rights throughout Europe.
Gerade auch das Strafrecht immer mehr zu
criminal law is increasingly becoming a system of thought crime. This means that people are being reported and convicted because they hold a particular political opinion that is deemed illegitimate by the authorities. And I consider this a very dangerous development.
The European Palestine Solidarity Movement has faced unprecedented repression and discrimination in the past 2 years. Germany and Hungary are among the most repressive states, but Austria is taking even one step further, equating